All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Glad you're here, and welcome to week number three in our Blessed Life series. And man, Thanksgiving is this week. How many already? All right. Not many of you. All right. So, hey, turn to the person next to you right before Thanksgiving and let them know. Look at them, square them in the eye and say, hey, I think you've lost a little bit of weight. Hold off a little longer. Come on. Can you get through Thanksgiving okay? Man, it's great to see you and just so excited for what God's doing. You know, we've been in this series and just have been overwhelmed by just the response that we have been getting and hearing. And I will say, woo. And we're just really, I think God has just been, man, just challenging us in a lot of different ways. How many could say, man, this series is challenging you but helping you? Amen? Amen? All right, good. Because I know it's doing it for me as well, and so we just thank God for that. I want to thank you guys just for your prayers as well for our missions team that did a short-term mission trip this week at the Los Angeles Dream Center. They are, as we speak, flying back. And so they've had an amazing week of ministry with Pastor Matthew Barnett and the Los Angeles Dream Center, and I believe bringing back a lot of just incredible things that God has done through them. I know just through some interaction that we've had, just what God has done and just encourage and the vision and the life that they have. So we just thank God for that, and also ready to help us to continue our outreaches and continue to help bring strength to that. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, and I want to encourage you, just keep them in your prayer today as they are heading home. They'll be back, I believe, late tonight. But grab your message notes if you already haven't done that and want to get into the message here this morning. And if you're here for the first time, just welcome again. So glad that you are with us here today. I want to just say this before we get into our first verse of Scripture. If you've not had the opportunity to just reach out and check out the messages from this series, I just want to encourage you to do that. And you can go on the app, go online, check those messages out. And the first week, we talked about first things. Everybody shout first things. Come on, shout first things. There you go. And first things, and we talk so much about, you know, just placing God, not just first in our finances, but first in every area of our life, and first in our marriage, first in our family. But then we also talked about the importance of seeing God first in the area of our finances, understand what tithe is, that it's not law, it's life, amen? And that it's the 10th part, the 10%, and it's also, we understood that it's a test, that the one, number one really competing thing for your heart on this side of eternity is going to be how we handle our money. And so, so important, I want to encourage you, if you missed that, check that message out. Then last week, we talked about just the principles of multiplication, that God desires to give back. And so we did an illustration up here last week to hopefully try to drive that home, and in the sense of, we had represented up here was the basket. How many remember the basket that was up here? And if you'll be faithful with what's in your basket, that God will be faithful to multiply what's in your basket. But the key is we got to sow and trust God and believe. Amen? And so, and one of the other things that we really took some time to understand last week is seeing God as our source, not for just some things, but for everything. Amen? I believe if we can trust God with our eternity, come on, our destiny, that we ought to be able to trust him as the greatest CFO that ever is. Amen? And so I think that's important for us. And I want to encourage you, if you miss those messages, please check that out. Psalm chapter 112. I want to start here. And then we're just going to kind of build a kind of tell you what today is going to look like. And then we're going to close up this series next week. But it says, praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. I like this. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. How many want to see your children blessed? Go further than you could ever go. Amen? And that's part of the blessed life, all right? And it says, wealth and riches are in their houses, and in their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Look at this. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice, and surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that my life can be in a place, such a place with God that it's never shaken? Absolutely. Things around you could be shaking while you be in the place of never being shaken. And that's part of the blessed life. While the rest of the world may be freaking out in chaos, that you and I can live in perfect peace because of God being our Lord and Savior and who he is in our life. Amen? And then it says this in Deuteronomy 30:19, that this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. So in other words, God is saying you and I have an opportunity to make a choice. God is a God that's not going to force himself on you, to force you to make decisions. It's free will. And so you and I have the opportunity to get as close as to God as we want or as distant as we want. But I'm going to know we want to draw close. And scripture says as we do that, that he's going to be faithful to draw close right back to us. Amen. And so choose life. I like life a lot better than death. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so like blessings a lot better than curses. Amen. Oh, you can talk to me in here, all right? And so we want to choose life and choose God's way for our life. And I love the fact that it ends in the scripture again talking about our children. You know, I said in the week one, scripture talks about in the book of Proverbs that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That we leave, in other words, even what you heard in church news, a legacy. Legacy, what that is something that outlives you. And I think hopefully that's in all of our hearts, that we want things, some stuff in our life, the good in our life, our love, and how we lead in our stewardship to outlive us and go impact for generations. Amen? And so today I just want to talk to you, really just kind of give you the nuts and bolts of how to see vision, how to have structure for your finances. I think we've hopefully done a good job over the last few weeks just understanding God's view of just money and finances. But here's what I know. The world's way in finances is not working. Just this past week, I looked on the national debt clock. How many of you ever looked that up before? Them bad boy numbers just are spinning, baby. And it's up around $20.5 trillion in debt that we are. That's a lot of debt. And so you can tell that our nation has embraced poor financial principles. And it was interesting to me, the stat that it's increasing and has been increasing for nearly 7 years at $2.5 billion per day. And yeah, it's a big number. So I'm going to give you some stats today to hopefully try to bring some of this home to us. And so economists are saying also this, that at the current rate that we're living in, the millennial generation, those that are born in 1982 to 2004, if you're in that time frame, you're considered a millennial, all right? And so the millennial generation will become, it's my generation, some part of that, it will become the poorest generation in the last 80 years at the current rate of the way things are going. So here's what that tells me, that we are living in a world that embraces very poor financial principles. And this, come on, will not lead you to a blessed life, but will lead you to going bankrupt. And it's interesting to me, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, that in scripture that Jesus, you know, we talked about prayer being important, amen, faith being important. And the Bible talks, has 500 verses on prayer and faith, but over 2,000 verses in your Bible having to deal with money and possessions. So in other words, if you break it down, that's 30% of Jesus' teaching had to deal with money. And again, it's because right here we see in Matthew 6:24, a verse that we have seen throughout this series, that you cannot serve both God and money. Because God knew the number one competition for your heart was going to be money. Are you with me so far? I wanted to share this scripture out of Luke 12 today, as I'm just kind of building a little bit of a foundation, then we're just going to go for it here. Out of the New King James and then out of the Message Bible. And this really popped out to me because I wanted to talk to you today on stewardship and really what this means. And within stewardship, if you're going to be a good steward of something, you have to have a structure. You have to have vision. You have to have a budget. And I've through the years had the wonderful opportunity, honestly, to counsel couples and marriages, families, singles, and just helping them financially just to get a vision for your future. You have to have a vision for finances. Yeah, you can't just kind of hope through it and hope it gets better. No, we got to be strategic and be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. And so Luke 12:42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful, once you see this, wise steward? So I want you to see this, that who's being referenced here is a man that is three things, faithful. Everybody shout faithful. Because whoever is faithful, and faithfulness always has a future, faithfulness always gets rewarded. All right, never forget that. So faithful, and then he was wise, but then he was a steward. He was a good steward. And I was looking up the word steward this week and hoping I'd have some kind of cool word to bring to you today and cool meaning. And really, it's very simple. And when I looked it up, and it literally in the Greek just means manage or manage well. So to steward is to manage well, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Then in the Message Bible, it says it this way, that the master said, let me ask you, who is, notice this, is the dependable manager. And so instead of steward, notice it says manager. It says, so dependable manager, full of common sense, that the master puts in charge of his staff to feed them well and on time. He is a blessed man if when the master shows up, he's stewarding well. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's managing well, all right? But if he says to himself, the master is certainly taking his time, begins maltreating the servants and maids, throws parties for his friends, gets drunk, the master will walk in when he least expects it, give him the thrashing of his life. How many ever had the thrashing of your life from your mom and dad? Yeah, none of y'all know what that means, do you? All right, and then, or how many just probably did that on the way this morning with your kids, all right? All right, we won't go there. We're trying to move forward, aren't we? All right? And put him back into the kitchen peeling potatoes. I almost titled this message today, Don't Go Peeling Potatoes. Can I just tell you that God has more for your life than you being up in a kitchen peeling some potatoes? And if you find yourself peeling potatoes, I'm here to let you know there's more for you and to be encouraged. But when we're called to be good stewards and good managers, that's the blessed life. And so we have to be faithful. This is what God's just trying to get to us in this series. The blessed life is being faithful with what God has blessed you with today. And here's what I think happens. I think there's roadblocks that hits us square in the face because we don't have vision. And sometimes we can't become a good steward because maybe we've never experienced it before. Maybe we've never really learned how to do this before. And so part of my responsibility in the short time I have, I'm going to try to do that and try to help us with this today. All right, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. So the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18 that if you have no vision, then people perish. Another version says people cast off restraint. All right, so vision is everything. If you don't have vision for your life, how many know it's just life just can just go. And so in other words, it's why we have our growth track is because we want to see people latch into purpose and gifts for their life so they have direction knowing where to go with their life. Because the Christian life will never make sense until you find and discover your purpose. Great place to say amen. And so it's understanding that God wants to give you vision. He also wants vision for your finances and your life and to be able to leave an inheritance. It's also important for a church to have vision. All right, we're not lacking vision in this church, all right? Spend 2 minutes with me and I'll spit it in 2 minutes. I'm telling you, full of it, because I don't want to waste your time, all right? But here's some of the roadblocks that we have, and this is what kind of, I think, derails us from the purpose and the direction of being good stewards. Jot this down, as we go on meaningless pursuits. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 that those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness, that the more that you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? Because that's where some of us may be at today. So maybe we feel like for every check that we get, and by the end of the month, here we are struggling again. And it's not God's will for you and I to be in a place of struggle, to be in a place of lack. God has a system, and it's been proven over the test of time that it works. It's just the key is you got to buy the truth, God's truth. We shared that last week. And so the other problem is that culture around us is always wanting more. How many know we're in the height of it right now? Black Friday, it's Friday, just in case you didn't know. And they say more people die during Black Friday than getting eaten by a shark, all right? And so I don't know where that stat comes from, but I just thought it was interesting. So, in other words, you may not want to go out Friday, I don't know. Do the old, what do they have, that Cyber Monday now or something? You do that just, but anyways, this is why we need this money or message to help us with our money to maybe not go do all of that anyways. Amen? So, but nonetheless, we go on meaningless pursuits because we don't have vision. And so, and I think what's important is understanding that our culture has some really bad thinking out there. And always complaining, if you notice commercials, about what you don't have. So the constant message that we see is more is better. How many know what I'm talking about? And just it's all over. It's on billboards. It's on commercials that more is what you need. It's an interesting survey that was done about 4 years ago. I've shared this before, but I always think it's very sobering to share this because it really shows the mindset and the heart of really where our culture is at today, and it's very sad. It was at a Time magazine, and it was called The Day America Told the Truth. And the question of the survey was simply this: what would you do for $10 million? All right, what would you do? This was the poll for $10 million. 25% of America said for $10 million they would abandon their entire family. Yeah. Lord have mercy. 23% of America said they would become a prostitute for a week or more for $10 million. 16% said they would give up their American citizenship. 10% of America said they would withhold testimony, letting a murderer go free. 7% of America said that they would actually kill a stranger for $10 million. And then 3% said they would put up their children for adoption. Man, if this doesn't show you where the American mindset and culture is at today, I don't know what does. You know, with all the things that are happening in our nation, I was having a discussion yesterday with some of our leaders, and one of our men, he said, man, it's truly a spiritual battle. And I said, you bet it is. You bet it is. It's a spiritual battle for the heart. I get tired of reading things and people saying, well, this is God's judgment. No, this ain't God's judgment. This is what a godless nation looks like, and this is what happens when we judge ourselves. That's why we need more of God, more of Jesus. Come on, through in our churches, in our communities, in our outreaches. You want to know why? We're sending a missions team to Los Angeles, California. And we got a team going to Cambodia and Thailand next year because we want to affect the world. But I believe some of the greatest needs in the world are right here in America today that need us. And in our cities, in our community. And the church said a good amen. Come on. And I think we need more of men and women to rise up and to do good. And I just horrific stats. Philippians says this. Paul's talking here. He said, Paul was a radical dude. He was like a gangster, man. Like, I love Paul. Love me some Paul. Love me some Apostle Paul. Like, if you want some drama, read on the Apostle Paul. Man, he keeps life interesting, all right? And I'm so glad. And this is a guy that was a mass murderer. That I'm sure in that day, and especially think about it in 2017 terms, that nobody would ever said he could be used by God. Don't you love how God uses, and he said this, I'll use the foolish to confound the wise. I'll use the ones that nobody else thinks are usable to do great things. I'll use the ordinary, me and you, to go do extraordinary things. You with me? He said, I've learned how to be content. Everybody say content. With whatever I have. That word content is very important because contentment means that my happiness doesn't depend on my circumstances. That I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the things in which I believe in. I know how to live on almost nothing or on everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, plenty or little. I can do everything. Come on, say it with me. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Because I realize that it's God in me and it has nothing to do with me, therefore, I can accomplish anything. I can do whatever God has called me to do. I can go make a difference with my life. I can see financial freedom come to pass. Why? Because I know who resides in me. And the fact that, you know, and a lot of people, a lot of your successful people, you know, businessmen and multimillionaires that I've even sat with and got to talk with, and some of them saved, some of them not saved. And I'll tell you what they understand, both of them, is stewardship. They understand contentment, and they understand the principle of first things. And it's important, I think, for us to get through, if we're going to understand God's place and purpose for our life, it's understanding that you and I cannot do this alone, that we need God through everything that we do, because everything that we do and everything that we have is a gift from God. Your next breath, the only reason why you and I can be successful is because the next breath that you and I were blessed with. Amen. And so it's important to see it that way. And then Luke 16, it says this. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? In other words, God is not going to give us more money if we can't be faithful with the money that we already have. If a person can't handle $500 a week, why in the world would we think God would bless us with $5,000 a week? It's called being a steward. It's called being faithful, because the heart of a steward says this, that with what I have now, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to be faithful with what's in my basket, and I'm going to honor God today. God is interested in building his kingdom, and he's going to entrust funds, and he's going to entrust that to people who are good stewards with those funds, who won't just squander anything that comes in and the resources on useless things. That they'll budget and they'll be accountable. And I just believe we'll never see God's fullness of his miraculous power given to poor stewards. And so we're called to steward well and to manage. And that's just not a financial principle. That's a life principle. That if God's really going to entrust you and I with more authority, more influence in our life, he's got to be able to trust us with what he's put in our lap today. Are you with me? Here's the other roadblock we hit, is it's just thoughtless living. We just don't think about it. We go on meaningless pursuits, thoughtless living, because for some of us, it's not big ticket items. We're just too impulsive. And so where there is no vision, we make quick decisions that are poor. I'll give you a couple other stats that I thought are just really interesting, that people spend 12 to 18 more on average with credit cards or plastic. Average credit card in America has a $9,000 balance. Watch out for this next one. Average American has 16.7 credit cards. That's just the average. I don't know what the above average looks like, but Lord have mercy. That's why the average 28-year-old in America has $66,000 in consumer debt. Can I just say, we need godly perspective on what he's saying in his word as it relates to finances. We've got to get a vision. We've got to have proper understanding. If you're trying to buy in from the systems of this world, it's going to leave you jacked up. It's going to leave you frustrated. Are you with me? It's going to leave you disappointed. But if we're going to trust God and we're going to take God at his word, we're going to trust him in everything, not in some things. Amen, church? And so that's why God said this in his word. This is just a great reminder for us today. And it says this, for my thoughts in Isaiah 55 are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You and I should always be thankful that God is not thinking like us and that his ways are not like us. That his thoughts are higher and that his ways are higher. Because if that wasn't the truth, he wouldn't be a God worth serving. But because his thoughts are higher, because his ways are higher, because he sees, Scripture says, the end from the beginning, he's a God worth trusting, he's a God worth serving, because he's been there. We read in Hebrews that he was a high priest who went before us, who was tempted in all points, went through every testing that you and I went through, and accomplished it without sin. So he's a perfect Savior, amen? And so Matthew 6, Jesus told us that we are to lay up treasures in heaven. And so my question is this morning, how much treasure are you laying up in heaven? And I'm not talking, again, just financially. I'm talking about what kind of an impact are we having today? Because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, money is meaningless. Money is not going to solve your problems. Only God can solve your problems. And the church said a good amen. So when you get to heaven, will you look back on this earth and regret how much treasure you laid up here on earth instead of sending it forward to heaven. That's legacy. That's legacy again. It's leaving something behind that's going to help people, generations. It's making a difference while you're here and loving and serving people and making a difference with your life. What kind of legacy? What kind of life? I mean, it's a sobering thought, but I think it's a good one from time to time that we think about, what kind of impact am I leaving behind? The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14 that God has put eternity in the heart of man. Do you know that God purposely put that scripture and that statement of eternity in our heart to get us to think about what's next? And we need to have those thoughts. Because the question is, what am I doing today? How am I being faithful with the breath that I've been given, the time that I have been given, the resources I have been giving? How am I being faithful with that today? And here's what I know. We can't help others if we don't care for what God has given us. And if we're not good stewards, man, it's going to limit our ability to help people and to advance the kingdom of God. Haggai chapter 1 says this, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You're in wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And that's the way it feels like for some. And I've talked to people, counseled people through the years on finances, and it's just like, man, I never have enough. And part of the reason is because we have these roadblocks in our life and we don't have a vision for where we're going. How many know it's time to get a vision? It's time to get a perspective of what God wants and the help. And that's why we're here. And that's why I want to help us with this. Because I think this is so important. This is something that is still hard for a lot of Christians to grasp. And it seems ironic. Because I think it's important, again, if we can trust him to be our savior of our eternity when we die, man, we've got to be able to trust him as the greatest financial advisor we've ever had. So let's get some fresh vision. You ready? All right, three of you are ready. How about the rest of you? You ready? All right. And here's what I know about this. I know these messages, we're thanking a lot. It's cool. But I just want you to know, this is life. And this is not about what God's trying to get from you. I promise you, this is everything about what God's trying to get to you. And you have to see this as life. And if we need to make adjustments along the way, then let's make them. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to help us with this. So number one, you have to change your view of money. I love Romans chapter 12, verse 2. One of my favorite scriptures. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't do it. It's going to leave you wanting more. It's going to leave you messed up. I preached a series a few years ago called Weird. That I'd rather be weird because the world's way is normal, it's not working, so I'll be weird. I'll be different. How many want to be weird like me? Amen? Careful. All right? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. You can't do it on your own. By changing the way that you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I wanted to just kind of give you some bad examples examples of bad thinking. And these are thoughts that I've heard from people. Well, all I need is a little bit more. All I need is a little bit more. Or man, you know what? It's all going to work out somehow. I don't know how, but it's going to work, okay? And then there's some just thinking and thought, well, someday I'll get into financial freedom. Someday I'll just kind of drift and hopefully it just comes about. Or just the selfish mindset that just says, man, my stuff belongs to me. I earned it. I'm the one that worked for it. God ain't got nothing to do with it. Oh, he's got everything to do with it. Instead of managing God's resources well, we have kind of this selfishness to us. And the Bible says in Luke 19, 17, Jesus is talking such a great example. He said, well done, the king exclaimed, giving a parable here. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little. I entrusted to you. So, check it out. You'll be governor of 10 cities as your reward. Come on, somebody. And you may not want to be a governor, and that's fine. But here's what that represents, promotion. Here's what it represents, God's blessing, God's provision. When you do things God's way and you honor him with whatever you have. And here's the deal, that sometimes we get upset at God because we feel like, well, He's not coming through for us financially. Tried it. Gave him a couple weeks and just not seeing nothing happen. And we say this even when we didn't pray about whether we were supposed to spend our money the way we did or not. And I know what I'm getting ready to say is a little sobering, but I think we just sometimes need the reality of just not blaming God on things. Because we need to know that God isn't responsible for the bills that he didn't initiate. And we are the ones who are responsible for our finances. God has called us to steward well, manage well. And so, which is why we should pray and get the counsel of God before we make big decisions. And even times for me, I'll reach out to those that are a lot smarter than me and, man, what do you think on this? And I believe this, that most of the stress and the worry and the anxiety in our lives is caused by a failure to exercise good stewardship. I read a stat this week that the number one leading cause for divorce today in America is communication. The second reason behind that is because of finances. Now, interesting, when you dive into that a little bit more, that the lack of communication had to deal with the lack of communication specifically on finances. So I'm just trying to help us. And I think what's important is our communication. What I think is important is that we see this God's way. Number two, so we've got to get a vision. We've got to get a vision for the future. So let me just kind of say it this way. Say you have $500 left until payday, but you impulsively choose to spend $300 on that nice barbecue grill. Because I know people that love the Lord love them some barbecue. Come on. I'm getting you think about lunch plans right now. But let's say you have $500 and impulsively, that's all you have for the rest of the month. $300 you're going to spend on the barbecue grill. And now it's leaving you short and it's leaving you in financial trouble. Listen to me. That is not God's judgment. That's arithmetic. Just hanging there for a minute. Okay. All right. So, and that's being good stewards. I know the barbecue grill looks great. I know the deal looks great on Friday. But we've got to get a vision. I'll never forget. It took Bethany and I years. We made a decision. We're going to come out of debt. It was hard. I should tell you, it was hard. Hard. We're going to pay things off. We had to say no a lot, didn't we, babe? We had to say no to a lot of going out to the movies, going out to restaurants. I mean, we just felt like we were in a isolation. We weren't, so we just had to invite everybody over to our house all the time because we wanted to get free. And we knew it's going to take work. And I'll never forget the day that we did get free. Man, we celebrated. It was awesome. To God be the glory. But it takes work, and it takes work maintaining. Are you with me? And what happens is people feel as if God is punishing us when we're in financial lack. But the truth is we're actually punishing ourselves because we didn't pray about a decision or use common sense. Here's what I just know sometimes, that God frequently gets blamed for self-inflicted wounds. And I think what's important is that we have to take responsibility. I'd even say the devil gets blamed for a lot too. Some of it is our choices. And we've got to be careful. I'm just trying to help us today, guys. And there's no condemnation. And so if we are feeling, man, this is kind of tough, lean into what the Holy Spirit's talking to you about today. Lean in. This is not anything between me and you. This is everything between you and God. And just remember, this is life. And God's trying to get something to you today. Amen? Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. In other words, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So you have to get a vision. I love this study that came out of Harvard. Incredible, incredible. Listen to this. Study of Harvard graduates with MBA degrees revealed that 3% of them accomplished more in a single year than all of the other 97% of students combined. The only differentiating characteristic, was the graduates who made up the 3% had left Harvard with written goals. I'm old-fashioned in the sense that when I've sat with couples that we write it out. And I ask him, what's your vision? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Talk about what you're dreaming about. Isn't it fun to dream? Some of us, we get so caught up day to day, we need to start dreaming again. We need to start dreaming again of what God wants to do in us and through us and what he can accomplish. We got to make the changes. And so I challenge you to write your financial vision according to your values. It's going to help you to say yes, what you need to say yes to. It's going to help you to say no, what you need to say no to. Number three is you got to build a working budget. In other words, you got to know where your money's going. Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And again, if where you are is not where you want to be, you've got to write the vision. You've got to get on a budget. You've got to give every dollar a name. And here's just one of the simple things that I've done for us and others that I've been with is, man, we write it down. When our, you know, how much we're making, and then how much is going out, what bills we need to pay, how we need to accomplish that, can we pay more if we have it? And what I have found with a lot of couples that I've worked with over the years is that they actually have more than what they thought, but because of just kind of that meaningless pursuits, they're eating out 25 times a week, and they're going to like 6 movies a week, okay? Well, if we skim that back a little bit, we're going to save some money. And so it's just being simple. Every dollar has a name. So it's breaking that down. DaveRamsey.com, Financial Peace University. I'm just plugging it because it's incredible. And he's also got some free budget plans that are free that you can just download and look at, and it's good. But here's what I know. Not living on a budget is like trying to drive a car without a gas gauge. It's miserable. And you never know what to expect from a month-to-month basis. But when you start getting intentional about it and you start getting a vision for it, things start changing. So you will never get ahead or even live within your means with no plan. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 21:20 that in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. But a foolish man devours all he has. So you have to develop a plan. Dave Ramsey, like I said, one of the things that helped us and one of the things I've coached others with is use cash. Quit using the credit card. Man, you saw the stats. And it's amazing when you get on a budget and use cash, how quickly cash goes. Man, you bought that Starbucks coffee and those mints and woo, you barely have enough for the week. And so it starts teaching you to steward well with what you have. And one of the principles that we just adopted years ago for our life is the 10-10-80 plan. And that is 10% goes to God. No question. It's not ours. It goes right back to God. All right? 10%, 10-10-80. The other 10 goes straight into our savings. Because you need to save. God forbid you have an emergency or, you know, you need a severe storm kind of account. And to be saving, though, for the future and retirement, there's so much to it. I just only have a little time with you today. And then the other 80 you live off of. And that's what, you know, that's what we've done. That's what others have done. I've watched other couples, man, that just over the years have had the honor to sit down and do this with. Man, now they're in a place of not just great freedom, but now they're being able to be generous on every occasion. It's incredible. And that's God's plan, is for freedom. And here's the fourth thing. Let's make giving a priority. Pastor Robert Morris, in his book, The Blessed Life, again, this is where we got our inspiration, talked of a story of a friend of his. He said that his friend of his walked outside of the Dallas airport and looked up and just asked God. His church was in a building program. And he said, God, he said, what would you have for me to do over the next 3 years? And God told him, you're going to give $50,000. He said, Lord. He said, am I hearing you right? And the Lord said, yep, you sure are. And so he said, I looked up and he said, I saw a plane overhead just fly by. And the Lord said, he said, do you think the money's just going to drop out of the sky? You need to go to your computer and get a budget and get a plan. And so he said, okay, Lord. So he said, I started working my budget out and figuring out kind of how I could do this. He had his own business and everything. And he asked, as he was doing it, he said, I asked the Lord again, Lord, are you sure this is you? He said, it's me. Do it. And so he said, I constructed it, put it together. He said, within those 3 years, he said, man, God just blessed God worked it out. He said the final Sunday of the building program, he said I was able to finish off that portion of $50,000. It's incredible. It's incredible. But the story didn't end there. He said he got home one day after work, and he got home and he got a knock at the door. And they had done surveys in the neighborhood and found that his house lost its value because it was under the overage of where the airplanes fly over. It's a flyover area. So because of that, the house they found lost value. His was the last house on this study. And they said, sir, because your house falls in this particular area, we're going to give you a check of $50,000. And he couldn't believe it. And then he said, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say this, I can drop it out of the sky if I want to. And here's all I'm saying. You can trust God with anything. With anything. With anything. Proverbs says, give freely, become wealthy, be stingy, lose everything. Remember, more than anything else, as we close this message, God is saying this, I want a heart and to get an attitude and a vision for us, church. A vision to give, not to get. To see God as our source for everything, not just some things. Are you with me today, church? Amen. And God loves you. He's for you. And all I'm encouraging you, man, just go before the Lord. And if you're serious about this, I want to commit to you to this as well. We're here for you. Myself, Pastor Rich, some of our team, man, if this is an area, say, man, I'd love some more help or talk to somebody about that, man, we'd love to help you. All right. Amen. Amen. Come on, bow your head. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for this series that we've been in. Lord, that we understand it's what you're trying to get to us. And Father, I know that this is maybe new territory for some of us that we've never seen maybe finances or first things or multiplication or God stewardship this way. But I pray that we all would be faithful stewards, not just sometimes, but consistently with our lives before you, not just financially, but God, with our lives, that we would be found faithful because people matter. And we're in this. We're in this for reaching people. That's what this is all about, God. God, that you would be first in every area of our life. First in our heart, first in our marriages, in our family, that our kids would see it. And God, that we as families and believers, as men and women, that we would leave legacies in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise for it today. If you're here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity right now. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if he's not first in your life, man, I just encourage you before you leave here this morning, make him first. Make him first in your life. We're all going to pray with you in just a second, but if that's you and you just say, man, I need to make him first in my life. Because if he's not on the list, if you don't know where he's at, man, I'm just telling you, he's only interested in one place on the list, and that's first. But if you recognize, man, my life has just not been focused, I need to place him first. I'm talking to you today. So with every head bowed and all eyes closed, come on, if that's you, without any hesitation, forget about who's around you. In just a moment, on the count of three, I just want you to slip your hand up in the air and say, man, that's me. That's me. I want to give my life completely to Christ. Come on. One, two, three. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. 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 Proud of you, man. Got you guys there. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's pray. Now, if you raised your hand, come on, church, let's pray together with them today and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I make you first. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for cleansing my past away. And thank you for loving me. And Lord, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. My life is not my own. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning. Come on, everybody. Come on for what he's done.